Sitaram jaya Sitaram Raghupati Raghava Rajaram Sitaram jaya Sitaram Raghupati Raghava Rajaram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram 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 Raghupati Raghava Rajaram Patita Pavana Sitaram Raghupati Raghava Rajaram Patita Pavana Sitaram Jai Ram Shri Ram Jai Jai Ram 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 Manas Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Prahim Sikoho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Sri Radha Sri Sri Radha Sham Sunda Gopa Gopinatha Shama Kundara Kundi Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai Gaura Vrimanandi All glories to the Assembled Devotees All glories to the Assembled Devotees All glories to the Assembled Devotees All glories to the Lotus Feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 3, text number 22, appearance day of Lord Ram. Nara deva tvam apana surya karya chidikshaya samudra nigrahadini chakre viryanyata param. Translation. In the 18th incarnation, the Lord appeared as King Ram. In order to perform some pleasing work for the demigods, he exhibited superhuman powers by controlling the Indian Ocean and then killing the atheist King Ravana, who was on the other side of the sea. The personality of Godhead, Sri Ram, assumed the form of a human being and appeared on the earth for the purpose of doing some pleasing work for the demigods or the administrative personalities to maintain the order of the universe. Sometimes great demons and atheists like Ravana and Hiranyakasipu and many others become very famous due to advancing material civilization by the help of material science or other activities with a spirit of challenging the established order of the Lord. That's a mouthful of a sentence there. For example, the attempt to fly to other planets by material means is a challenge to the established order. The conditions of each and every planet are different, and different classes of human beings are accommodated there for particular purposes mentioned in the codes of the Lord. But, puffed up by their tiny successes in material advancement, sometimes the godless materialists challenge the existence of God. Ravana was one of them, and he wanted to deport ordinary men to the planet of Indra by material means without consideration of the necessary qualifications. He wanted to build a staircase to be built. He wanted a staircase to be built directly reaching the heavenly planets so that people might not be required to undergo the routine of pious work necessary to enter that planet. He also wanted to perform other acts against the established rule of the Lord. He even challenged the authority of Sri Ram, the personality of Godhead, and kidnapped his wife Sita. Of course, Lord Ram came to chastise this atheist, answering the prayer and desire of the demigods. He therefore took up the challenge of Ravana, and the complete activity is the subject matter of the Ramayana. Because Lord Ramchandra was the personality of Godhead, he exhibited superhuman activities which no human being, including the materially advanced Ravana, could perform. Lord Ramchandra prepared a royal road on the Indian Ocean with stones that floated on the water. The modern scientists have done research in the area of weightlessness, but it is not possible to bring in weightlessness anywhere and everywhere. But because weightlessness is the creation of the Lord, by which he can make the gigantic planets fly and float in the air, he made the stones, even within the earth, to be weightless and prepared a stone bridge on the sea without any supporting pillar. That is the display of the power of God. Om Gyanatamadandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chaksuhan Minitam Yanatasmai Sri Guru Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangumam Jayate Girim Yakti Bhartamaham Bande Sri Guru Dindadina Avancha Kalpatiri Vishya Kripa Sindhavahe Vachapati Panam Pavani Vyo Vaishnavi Guru Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune, and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances unto you, Srimad Bhagavatam. Ramaya Ramabhadraya Ramachandraya Medhase Raghunathaya Nathaya Sitaya Patahe Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Ramchandra, who is all auspicious, the Lord of the Raghu dynasty and the husband of Sita Devi. That's the Sita Ram Pranam Mantra. So today we're celebrating this most auspicious appearance day of Lord Ramchandra. It's an unfortunate fact that I'm unqualified to speak about the glories of the Lord and his vast, unlimited activities to present myself before all of the Vaishnavas here and attempt to do so is a little arrogant. But it is the order of our spiritual master that we should speak about these things, and the assembled Vaishnavas have requested me to do so. So in the mood of our acharyas who have made similar prayers, I can only beg that you all please give me your mercy and overlook any mistakes or shortcomings I make in this regards, and allow me to somehow make an effort to glorify Lord Ramchandra. So in this third chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find a list of all the various incarnations. They're all noted one after the other. And in this verse 22, Lord Ramchandra is mentioned. Now, of course, Valmiki is written, the Ramayana, as Prabhupada mentions here. And, you know, one can have spent an entire lifetime sufficiently being able to study the entire pastimes of Ram from the Ramayana. Fortunately, Prabhupada had this amazing ability to shorten everything as it was required for the different subject matters. I've been listening to this series of lectures from this third chapter Prabhupada gave, and each incarnation is there. And of course, we know later on in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada gave an entire chapter, the chapters are there, but Prabhupada explained through an entire chapter all the different activities, pastimes, and philosophical details of the different incarnations. Yet in this third chapter, through the purports and through the lectures, he's able to give a little capsulized explanation. This was one of Prabhupada's expertise of many, but this particular ability to just deliver very condensed information that was just packed with potency. This is Prabhupada's special ability. Now, Prabhupada makes it clear in this purport here that Krishna appears for two reasons in this world. Paritranaya sadhanam vinasaya chaduskritam. To kill the miscreants and to protect the devotees. That this is the particular reason that Krishna comes. He proclaims this many different places. This famous verse in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where he points this out. That this is why I come. And Prabhupada says in one of these lectures, he said, this is the purpose of the avatar. They have these two businesses. Not that the avatar means that you keep some long beard or have some artificial helmet. Rascals may be allured by such personalities, but those who are sensible, those who have got common sense, they will see the reference to Shastra, that the avatar is coming in this way. There are so many different avatars. The activity of a particular avatar is mentioned here, that they will appear in such and such way to such and such father and mother, such and such place, and his activities will be like this. So Lord Ramchandra appeared for the purpose of satisfying the suras. Krishna appears to protect the suras. There are the suras and the asuras. Asura means non-devotees, and sura means devotee. So for killing the asuras, Krishna is not required to come on his own. He can send any of his agents. Simply by advising the king of heaven, Indra, you send a strong wind, so many asuras can be annihilated. So for that purpose, Krishna does not have to come. But he comes to satisfy the devotees. The devotees are so anxious to see him. So here it is mentioned also, Lord Ramchandra appeared. Main business for appearing, to satisfy the devotees. And side by side, to kill Ravana. And Ravana was on the other side of the Indian Ocean. So Hanuman, the devotee of Ramchandra, he jumped over the ocean simply by chanting, Jai Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Shri Ram. But Ramchandra thought himself, oh, I am unable to jump over the ocean. He had to construct a bridge. But what kind of bridge? A bridge of stones floating on the sea. The law of gravity, actually Prabhupada says in the lecture, the law of gravitation. The law of gravitation did not work. That is God. He can nullify any law. He can introduce any new law. And nobody has got the experience that the stone is thrown into the water and it floats. No one has got that experience. Naturally, it goes down. But this is God, that he nullifies the general law as he desires to for his pastimes. That is because he is all-powerful. That is his greatness. So this is the description Prabhupada gives of what a real incarnation is. There are many, Prabhupada does go on in this lecture, and he mentions there are many different incarnations, different personalities that claim to be incarnations and do this or that or show some magic or whatever. But he goes back to this very important point here of the Shastric support of who is an incarnation. Who is the mother? Who is the father? What village? Throughout that entire chapter, in each of the different incarnations, Prabhupada hones in on this point. It's not just someone declares themselves to be an incarnation, but that the real incarnation has history there that's mentioned in Shastra. So, and this is another point too, as the incarnation, in this particular role, he has what appears to be certain limitations. Nrisimhadev, he had certain limitations. How difficult is it for Nrisimhadev to kill Hiranyakasipu? You know, just flip of his finger. But he had certain limitations that were imposed by the boon that was given to him to Hiranyakasipu by Brahma. Of course, afterwards, Prabhupada mentions in one lecture, afterwards, Nrisimhadeva said to Brahma, don't give any such benedictions again. It makes things very difficult for me. Prabhupada actually said. So in this incarnation, he's acting like a regular king, regular son, regular husband. You know, he's not crossing any of the established laws. Mother-in-law says you're banished to the forest. Okay, I'll go to the forest. All right. The ocean is there. Oh, I can't jump over the ocean. How can I do that? We'll have to build a bridge. How difficult would it be for Ram to just walk across the water? What to speak of actually, you know, draw the island of Sri Lanka up to the coast. He could do that. No. We have to build a bridge. I can't just jump over. So, you know, he left that for his devotee to do. This is the pleasure of the Lord. The Lord deserves all the credit. The Lord deserves all the glorification. But let that go to my devotee. Oh, look, Hanuman has jumped there. And what did Hanuman do? He jumped over the ocean. He landed in Lanka. He scouted everything out, set the city to fire, and then returned and gave a full report to Ram. This is the devotee. Oh, you can do that. I couldn't have done that. Of course Lord Ramchandra could have done that. Could have sent one arrow and destroyed the entire island. But no, let my devotee get the glory. Let my devotee get the notice. And as a result, everyone glorifies Hanuman. Even in Braj, you go around Govardhan Hill and Hanuman's statues are there everywhere. Of course, there's a particular pastime for that. We'll mention that. Actually, during the building of the bridge, Lord Ramchandra said to all the monkeys, okay, start getting stones, collecting all the stones, and let's get this bridge built. And of course, we all know they all wrote the name of Sri Ram on each stone and floated in the water. So they're collecting stones. Now, Hanuman's a big, big monkey. Prabhupada makes references in different places, but that means also a little proud, but able to do great, great tasks. I mean, later on in the pastime, when Lakshman is harmed with the arrow, he has to go and get the mountain, to the Himalayas rather, and get the herb to cure him. Oh, which herb should I get? I'll just bring the whole mountain. So there's that famous, picture, deity we have of Hanuman carrying the whole mountain. So he can do so much. So he wants to get the big stones. So he's looking around. He comes to Braj, he sees Govardhan. Oh, such a big stone here. I'll take this. You remember in previous times, Govardhan Hill was not as small as it is now. I mean, we sometimes think, 14 miles all the way around. Oh, this is such a long walk. It was much smaller than it used to be. It's said that in previous times, when Surya, the sun god, would traverse the universe, that his horses would stop and graze on the top of Govardhan Hill. So at any rate, Hanuman thinks, I'll take this hill. So he reaches down to lift it. He can't get it up. How's this connected? So he gets down and he crawls around all the way around Govardhan Hill. First person to do Dandabad Parikrama. All the way around looking, where is it connected? I can't get it up. Finally, he realized this must be great devotee. Conversation then takes place between him and Govardhan. He said, my dear Govardhan, I want to take you to be a part of Lord Ram's pastimes to help with the bridge. Govardhan is ecstatic. Oh, I get to be a part of the pastimes of Lord Ram. I've been waiting for the Lord to come. That's why I had the sage drop me here, because I knew the Lord's pastimes would take place. And then he says, all right, so you can lift me. And as Hanuman's about to lift, the conch shell blows. The celestial announcement comes. The bridge is built. All monkeys gather. We're going to attack. Hanuman says, I'm sorry, Govardhan. We don't need you. Govardhan starts to cry. What? I want this pastime. I want to be a part. His pleas touched the heart of Hanuman so much. Hanuman went back to Ram. He said, Ram, there's this big hill. Very nice devotee of yours. He wants to be a part of this pastime. But you've said the bridge is complete. Ramchandra said, yes, I know. You just tell him that I will come later in other pastimes with my brother and cowherd boys, and we will enjoy so many pastimes. So Hanuman went back and gave this information. So Hanuman could do so many things like this, but Ramchandra, he chose, no, you do that. So this is where we see the different pastimes of the Lord sometimes intersect. Who would have imagined that Govardhan Hill would have a pastime place in the activities of Lord Ramchandra? So in this manner, Ram then took his army and approached Ravana. And of course, we know the big battle. There was never any doubt that Ramchandra was going to conquer Ravana, get Sita return, but he wanted to show his reliance on his devotees. Hanuman, you go scout it out and tell me what's going on. I have no way of knowing. Okay, monkeys, you build the bridge. I can't do this on my own. So this is the Lord's satisfaction of showing how he is dependent upon his devotees. And the devotee is always feeling dependent upon him. Well, Prabhupada mentions here about Ravana's offenses, if you will. I mean, we can make a whole list of the offenses that Ravana committed, so many things. Prabhupada mentions here in this purport about him wanting to build a staircase to heaven. I'm sorry, does anybody from our generation hear that and not get a certain thing pop in their brain? It's just, you know, what can you do? So this staircase to heaven could not be built by Ravana in this way. I was amused, if you will, by the wording Prabhupada uses in the purport here. I immediately thought of Sesha. The people might not undergo the required routine of pious work to enter into that planet. If this was successful, then Sesha would have no means of livelihood. You know, immigration lawyer having make arrangements for everybody to come into the country. So here, Ravana was trying to overstep that. No immigration lawyers, just go to heaven directly. You know, no pious activities needed. So, you know, in this way, he was, as Prabhupada says, going against the established rule of the Lord. Because there is an order to which the universe functions. One cannot just randomly go wherever they want to. Even on this planet, in this country, in this city, you can't do that. You can't just randomly go this place and that place. Even something as simple as the County Public Works Office, right down the road here on 441. There's a big gate and a gatekeeper right there. You can't just go in. Oh, I just want to go in here. No, what's your appointment? Who you come here to see? This is important stuff in here. And just a few steps further down is the power plant where all the energy comes. Oh, I want to go in here. No, you can't come in. Who are you? So what to speak of, take that to the next level, go into some government offices, right? You can't just walk into the mayor's office. Prabhupada always speaks about that, how you can't just go see some big men, you have to have some connection. So in this regards, going to the heavenly planets required the proper performance of pious activities, the proper performance of religious work. Not just any person goes to the heavenly planets, but this was the idea of Ravana. Just build a staircase, everybody just walks up there. You know, I mean, if we even think that through, it's just a ludicrous idea, but somehow or another, Ravana thought, yeah, this will work, I can do this. You know? Prabhupada equates this here in the purport to the foolishness of going to the moon planet by mechanical means. Of course, that's a whole other story for another class, but at any rate, you know, the moon planet is a heavenly planet. It's not a dry rocks and dirt planet with no liquid, or, oh, maybe we'll find a little bit of water deep down under some rock somewhere. No, that's not the heavenly planet that's described in Shastra. That's another planet. There's planets like that. Okay, but that. So at any rate, Prabhupada says in the purport here that Ravana also wanted to perform other acts against the established rule of the Lord. This is the nature of the demoniac class, that they want to do things that are against the standard procedure that the Lord has established for how the universe works. The demigods were feeling threatened by Ravana. The demigods are always threatened. Hiranyakasipu, Hiranyaksha, you know, so many personalities try to upset the order, and the Lord has to come. Has to come and correct things. No, you can't do that. So this is why, Prabhupada said, this is why Lord Ramchandra came, to do some good work on behalf of the demigods, to kill Ravana and to stop this unnatural, unlawful type of ascension. Of course, it wouldn't have been successful, but the desire was there to do it. And then in addition to that, if it wasn't enough that he wanted to transgress these laws, he transgressed the ultimate law and kidnapped the wife of Lord Ramchandra. This is the nature of demons, always looking at the beautiful woman and thinking, oh, I can possess this. She should become mine. She should be my queen. She would be so honored to be my queen. Sita was having none of it. No manner of enticement from Ravana, either through his own words or through his offerings of position or through his wealth, were of any interest to Sita. Totally chaste and devoted to Lord Ramchandra. Ravana could not understand this. This is the nature of the demon. Wealth and position rule. These other things, chastity or truthfulness or responsibility, or none of these things count. None of these things count. Just money and position. So Ravana could not understand how it is possible that I'm not able to entice her like this. She was so devoted. So in this process of coming, this was the purpose that Ramchandra came, to put these activities out there to bring Ravana to such a point that there was nothing left to do but to finish his existence. Now, Prabhupada mentions in this same verse here in the lecture, he talks about the amazing activities of Ramchandra on his own. Because Lord Ramchandra was the personality of Godhead, he exhibited superhuman activities which no human being, including the materially advanced Ravana, could perform. Lord Ramchandra prepared a royal road on the Indian Ocean with stones that floated on the water. The modern scientists have done much research in the area of weightlessness, but it is not possible to bring in weightlessness anywhere and everywhere. In scientific efforts, restrictions are there according to the conditions the experiment is conducted in. And in order for those experiments to be successful each time, the conditions have to be exactly the same. This is how the scientists come to a conclusion. Okay, we did it exactly like this and we get this result. We did it again, we get that result. We did it in the same way, we get there. Okay, so therefore we conclude this is a fact. Here, Prabhupada mentions that they cannot do it anytime and anywhere in any condition. This is reserved only for the personality of Godhead. Lord Ramchandra did not require to do some material experiments. Okay, let's get some water, let's put some stones there. Okay, that won't work. Let's do it again. Okay, that won't work. Okay, let's do it again. Okay, that worked. All right, now we can build a bridge. No. So, okay, you simply throw the stones out and go. So, because the principle of gravity, the Prabhupada mentions here, is created by the Lord. It can be said, oh, it's under the influence of the material circumstances and creation. Oh, yes, but who's created all that? Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramchandra. Therefore, he has the full ability to transcend that when the need is there for his own pastimes. He has created the weightlessness, as Prabhupada calls it. He's created this. Planets can float in the sky, so why can't he float a few rocks on the water? How difficult is that? And then Prabhupada concludes, this is the display of the power of God. So there's another connection here to Govardhan Leela. Of course, we see that when Krishna offered to lift the Govardhan Hill up, the cowherd men were quite skeptical. The cowherd boys were even more skeptical. Come on. You just aren't playing me. You're not going to be able to do this. We better help you out and hold the sticks ourselves, you know. So, but this was Krishna's ability to completely eliminate the principle of gravity. Gravity says if you've got a very heavy rock, those of us that have done any gardening or yard work, you come, you know, you try to move a big boulder. There's many of these beautiful big boulders that are placed around the property here in the gardens. Sometimes when I'm driving around, I see these huge rocks. I think, oh, that would really be nice in my yard. I could put it next to the old plow I've got and this and that. But then I think, how am I going to get that anywhere? You know, I mean, even if I got it into the back of the pickup truck, it's going to weigh the truck down so much the tires are going to break. You know, because they're so heavy. How heavy was Govardhan Hill? That would be a nice mathematical thing to work out for somebody that's got that kind of ability. At any rate, but the entire principle of gravity that stones function under, Krishna eliminated that. Just on the tip of his little finger. All right, no problem. I'll just hold this for a few minutes, a few days. How about 1 week? So here again in the pastimes of the Lord, the ability to transcend, to eliminate, to remove the various laws of nature that the world functions under are within his power because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, we mentioned here that the Lord is very satisfied when he can glorify his devotee. He's very satisfied to see when the devotee is very fixed in their service and determination to him. And there are many great personalities throughout the pastimes of Lord Ram. But one of them that we may not know so much about, I thought I would mention today. She's described in the Ramayana. Her name is Shabari. Shabari was a tribal lady, one of the village tribes around. And she was so fixed, so devoted in her love for Lord Ramchandra. She had at some point in her life taken shelter of a great sage named Matunga Rishi and accepted him as her spiritual master. And then during the last days of his life, Matunga was quite invalid. And so she served him very dutifully, took care of him on his deathbed, so to speak, with great care and attention. And Matunga Rishi became very pleased by her service and blessed her that in the future, Lord Ramchandra will come with his brother Lakshman and you will get their darshan. So she had great faith in the words of her spiritual master. And every day she would go and collect these particular berries that were growing in the forest nearby. She would collect them to have ready as an offering for Lord Ram if he came. But she was very particular because those of you that maybe have this experience, not all the berries on a bush ripen at the same time. Sometimes, oh, this one's very sweet. Oh, this one's bitter. It's not ripe yet. So she would taste each berry. Oh, yeah, this one's okay. Put it in there. Oh, this one's not good. Throw it away. So in this way, she would collect the berries, but only the best berries. So she wasn't eating them for her own satisfaction. She was tasting, okay, this one's good. It reminded me, I've told this story a couple of times. There was a bhakta, back when I was a young devotee in St. Louis. We called him bhakta, but he was far from a bhakta. Anyway, this young man that used to come to the temple all the time for the Sunday feast. And he was very fond to bring his latest girlfriend, whoever she might be, because we always gave guests garlands. And so he'd get a garland and give it to him, you know, his way to impress them. So at any rate, he was quite a rascal. So he had come one morning for breakfast and was sitting with the brahmacharis, and we were all talking about offering prasadam and all. And he piped up, he said, I offer everything I eat. We looked at him with great shock, like, you offer the prasadam? He said, yeah, whenever I taste anything, as it goes by Super Soul on the way down, I offer it to him. So this is not the type of mentality that Shabari had. She was tasting truly to see if this was satisfactory for the Lord. So anyway, quite a number of years passed. And of course, this is in Treta Yuga, and by quite a number, I mean quite a number. And she became very old and emaciated, but Lord Ramchandra hadn't showed up yet. So didn't matter to her. She continued on picking her berries every day, cleaning the hermitage, you know, sitting in a place and chanting and waiting for Lord Ram and Lakshmi to come. Finally, when he was in search of Mother Sita, Lord Ram came. And he personally gave his darshan to Shabari. She was in great ecstasy. You know, she was so happy. She offered him a sitting place and offered proper prayers. And then gathered up the berries she had collected for that day and brought them to Lord Ramchandra. Interesting thing happened. Lord Ramchandra was so touched by her devotion that he bowed before her and touched her feet. And then, after accepting her offering, Lord Ramchandra explained what his purpose was. He's searching for Sita. She's been stolen by the demon Ravana. And Shabari was very knowledgeable of what goes on in that area, and she suggested, there's a monkey king, Sugriva. You should go and make an alliance with him, and then you'll be successful. So in this way, he did like that, got his kingdom back with the help of the monkey army. And this was the relationship that he had with Shabari. Now, how is it that she came to be in this position? If we look into this pastime a little bit more, in her life, she was the daughter of a hunter. And she belonged to the Nishida tribe. And the father had arranged for a marriage for her. And the night before her marriage, she saw that the father had taken whatever wealth he had and invested it in purchasing many goats and sheep that were brought to be used as a sacrifice. We know that in some types of worship this is done. And she was greatly moved out of compassion for these animals that they should be sacrificed on her behalf. And so that night she ran away from home, skipped out on the wedding. I think they call that a runaway bride. And she went in search of a spiritual master. And she went from place to place to place, and many different yogis and many different gurus, they all rejected her because she was from a very low class caste. And finally, in her travels, she met this Matunga Rishi. And Matunga Rishi accepted her as a disciple. And she stayed there in the ashram with the other followers and served him very attentively. And then, of course, this opportunity came where, as I mentioned, that she was given the benediction for her service, that you'll meet Lord Ramchandra. So even from the beginning, she had this great mood of devotion, this great mood of respect, of concern. So, you know, she was always devoted to the words of her guru. Her guru had told her that you'll see Rama Lakshman. So that length of time did not dissuade her that, oh, maybe it's not going to happen. There's a, I'm so foolish. I can't remember that cowherd boy's name out of Govardhan. The one that's, there's a deity of him. He's still waiting for Krishna. Somebody help me here. Huh? Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Also, he was told by Krishna, I'm coming back. Don't worry. I'll be back in a little bit. All right, I'm going to sit right here and wait for you. You said you're coming. I'm going to wait right here. And to this day, he's still waiting. So in this way, she had that same type of faith. You know, my guru said this will happen, therefore it will happen. And then, of course, you know, during this time, as I mentioned, she was picking all these berries, tasting them, and if it was good, she would keep them. And, you know, this was a simple life. But it was filled with so much devotion and anticipation of Lord Ramchandra's arrival. This is the mood a devotee should have. Always anxious for the Lord to come. Always anxious to be able to serve the Lord, despite whatever obstacles may be there. Oh, it's so many years. I'm waiting so long. Now, it mentions that she was living in a very simple straw hut next to a lake. And that she was sleeping on kusa grass, wearing tree bark, had matted hair, and quite elderly and emaciated, as I mentioned. So, you know, many other types of yogis and personalities had waited for Lord Ram in their ashram, but when Lord Ram came, he went just to her ashram. And he saw that she was in this condition and that she constantly had tears in her eyes from chanting the name of Ram. And so in this way, after she served Ram, Ram gave her a benediction. There are so many exalted yogis waiting for darshan with me, but you came here in this humble mood. This indicates the comment on this, but this indicates that the devotee in a humble position is always respected by the Lord. So the Lord is not looking for our position of prestige, for our wealth. He's not looking for our expensive offering. We know in the pastime of Vidura, the Lord was offered banana skins. But because Vidura was filled with ecstasy and love in his service, even neglecting to make the proper offering, I mean, many of us prepare offering at home. You can imagine you're preparing the banana or peeling the mango, and you put all the mango peels in the bowl, and then put the bowl on the altar, make the offering. Your wife comes in, or your husband, whichever the case, and what are you doing? You lost your mind? You offered the peels and you threw the fruit away. But when Vidura offered like that to Krishna, Krishna was very happy. Ah, I will accept because you have so much devotion. Matter of fact, Ram, when he tasted those berries, he said, I've tasted so many different types of food. And you can imagine he was son of a king. He said, but nothing tastes as nice as these fruits and berries. So, anyway, after all of this exchange and after her advice to Ram to make an alliance with Sugriva, and after showing Ram and Lakshman the ashram and everything, it was time for her to depart from this world. And Ram said to Shabari, he said, you have satisfied me by the simplicity of your love and devotion. Now you can go and join your guru again and all of your god brothers and all of your god sisters and engage in service with him. So in this way, because of her perfection in yogic abilities, she sat in meditation and entered into the sacred fire. But an interesting thing happened. Because of her devotion to Lord Ramchandra, when her elderly emaciated body was consumed by fire, all the matted locks were burned, all the bark was burned off, she came out of the fire in a spiritual form that was completely youthful. And in this way, she was able to leave that place and join her guru and continue her loving service to the Lord. So we see from this story that one may not be in a big position like Hanuman, may not have a very close relationship to the Lord like Hanuman, but by humble service, by simple remembrance of the Lord, one can get the blessings of the Lord. One can get the darshan of the Lord. One can get the ability to go back to home, back to Godhead. So this is the pastime. We can use this pastime to judge our own level of devotion and our actions. You know, she had nothing in her heart but love for Lord Ram. What do we have in our heart when we examine it? What do we find there? Do we measure up to this standard or do we fall short? This is what Prabhupada has explained many times. There's another lecture I heard recently where Prabhupada said, lust and greed. If you find these things in the heart, then you know you're not advancing. How to tell if you're advancing? Lustiness and greediness is eliminated from your heart. So we can see in this example, this devotee of Lord Ramchandra, none of these things existed there. And as a result, she got the supreme benediction of personal darshan with Ram, and of being able to give prasadam to Ram, and of getting the direct benediction from Ram, of going back to her guru, back to the spiritual world. So, you know, as we spend today, but not only today, we're fortunate here, we've got a week of festivities. We've got today, and then we've got Sunday coming again. There'll be a big abhishek and, you know, beautiful addressing of the deities, and a nice feast offered in Ram's honor. So as we celebrate these days thinking of Lord Ramchandra, we can look at ourselves and understand, where is my level of devotion to Lord Ram? What is my commitment to the service of Lord Ram? How much dedication do I have to remembering Lord Ram, to chanting his name? I was listening this morning while I was doing my abhishek for my Ram Sheila at home, an old 1974. Those of us that were in Vrindavan in those days, remember there used to be a Sitaram Ashram just across from Fogel Ashram. And 24 hours a day, they would chant Sitaram bhajans. Really nice bhajans. I have a recording of that from those days. And And I was listening to that and thinking, yes, 24 hours a day they were chanting the name of the Lord. Just nonstop. Of course, some of us were new devotees and think, can't they stop while we're trying to sleep? You know, but no, they were chanting 24 hours a day. And this was before those big megaphone speakers and just split your eardrums. This was just a nice sweet bhajan coming out of this ashram. I wrote to Govinda Swami this morning to ask him, whatever happened to that ashram? Because it's not there anymore. They must have moved somewhere. They saw what was coming to New Raman Reti and went to the hills, whatever. So in this way, we can spend our day remembering the Lord, discussing the Lord, chanting the names of the Lord, and bring about this purity in our heart, or endeavor to bring about this purity in our heart. So I'll finish the class by reading this Palastuti. We know this is the benediction given at the end of a work, a spiritual work, a collection of verses, a pastime. This is from the Ramayana of Valmiki. Sri Ramchandra is ever pleased with one who regularly reads or hears the Ramayana. For is he not Mahavishnu, the eternal, the first and foremost of all gods, the mighty Lord of Lords, Hari and Narayana himself? In short, an ever-growing circle of kinsmen, abundance of wealth, corn, faithful devoted spouses, perfect health, long life, fame, and an upright heart, spiritual splendor, good brothers, and everything a human can wish for. All of this and much more come to one who studies with a pure heart and devotion this epic, this noble epic work of Sri Valmiki. So these are the benedictions awarded to us for hearing about the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. We don't hear for those reasons, but not a bad list of items to have thrown your way. Spiritual splendor, an upright heart. One upright heart, this means one who has morality, one who has virtue, you know. Fame, good health, long life, lots of corn. At any rate, so let us take this opportunity to remember the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra and try and imbibe that devotion to him that we see in the example of this so-called low-class tribal woman, Shabari. So we'll finish there. If anyone has any comments or questions, oh my goodness.
What was her name?
I can't hear a word. Shabari. S-H-A-B-A-R-I. S-H-A-B-A-R-I. Sorry?
Hare Krishna, thank you. I had one question. Is there any place on where Ravana was actually trying to build that stairway? Any, you know, like there's all these pastimes.
Oh, I've never heard any reference, you know, like it's said you can go to such and such place to see where the pillar and Srinagadev came out of, or you can go to Vrindavan to see Govardhan Hill lifted. I've never heard a reference. If you go to such and such place, there's the first few steps on the stairway, Ravana's. No, I don't know of that pilgrimage place.
Okay. And one other thing was my neighbor, Vrinda and Vishwambar, she just, by some happenstance, she just launched her book, the last of that trilogy that she wrote. So I think it's available on Amazon.
Another way to be absorbed in Ram.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, it's quite a nice read. I've read the first two, and now there's a third one. So
it's a wonderful thing about the Association of Devotees. I was mentioning this, I think, when I did the announcements on Sunday. There's so many opportunities to absorb ourselves. You know, we kind of think now with this whole world pandemic and restrictions in this way and that way and how many people and where you can go and so on and so on and so on, that, oh boy, you know, everything's just going to hell, Kali Yuga's advancing. But quite the opposite. You know, so many of us are giving classes online in so many parts of the world that we'd never even been to or would go to. So many opportunities are there for so many different devotees are putting online material up, you know, publishing books, doing seminars, reading from pastimes. I mean, it's just, it's an unlimited world out there of devotional association. So nothing gets in the way of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. Nothing at all. We have to have that faith. We'll finish there. Okay. All glories to the Lord Ramchandra. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Oh. Charanamrita. I'll step outside in the veranda. Anybody that wants a little, you're welcome to come get it. Hare Krishna.